Amen.
God and the love of God that we'll never know till we get home.
Hallelujah.
I want to know it all.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm glad I'm saved this morning.
Amen.
I just want to go to heaven, don't you?
Amen.
I'm not worried about a lot of this other stuff that's going on in the world. I can care less who watches the Super Bowl.
Amen.
Are you going to watch it? If I'm home, I'll watch a little of it, sure. And you will too. Don't tell me you won't.
Amen.
Well, you women don't know about football anyway. I want to tell you today, you know, we act like we're so goody-goody. I'm not going to miss anything else to watch it, but if I'm there and it's on, I'll watch a little of it. Did you watch Kentucky yesterday? Anybody watch Kentucky yesterday?
Yeah.
Sure you did. Some of us do. Did you? I know I'm doing something else, and I come in, and it was already gone into the second half. I finished watching it.
Amen.
You know, we act like we're so goody-goody.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not concerned. Those things don't mean that much to me.
No.
I don't care about them. I'm looking forward to where my real joy, my treasures are. Jesus said, lay not up treasures here on earth where thieves and robbers break through and steal, and they destroy. If you don't want to sit down, sit down. I'm going to preach what God gives me to preach this morning. But he said, the thieves will break through and steal them, and they'll get them and all of that. But he said, lay up treasures in heaven where these things cannot happen. I don't do much for God. Not as much as I ought to do, I guess. But what little I do is genuine treasures, brother, that are laid up on the other side.
Amen.
And I'll reap the rewards of them one day, and I'll be faithful.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Go ahead, Jane. I'm finished now.
Yeah, I like that. The Bible said we see in part.
I want to tell you, draw me nearer. That's what
Amen.
I want this
morning. Amen.
I want to be nearer the cross.
The Bible said we see in part. We know in part, but then face to face. We used to sing a song over at Bethel. Said in the light of his, let's see, presence. See, the world goes strangely dim. Let's see. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. No, no. But that is true. Down here, like Brother Vernon said, down here we look this way and that way, but up there we don't look one way.
Amen.
We look unto Jesus, and there's so much there, I don't believe we'll ever be able to contain it. I believe it'd be the most, you know, a lot of things people say, yeah, but have you ever been here? You ever seen this? It's breathtaking. I believe it's past all that. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate the testimony, Brother Vernon. Not only did I agree with you, but that's where it ought to be.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you what, we're getting up to Jesus. We'll forget about all these other things. And Fanny Crosby wrote that song, A Blind Lady, Fanny Crosby, and she had tremendous insight. Amen.
There's so much sin on this earth, it's hard to have much pleasure in this earth.
That's yeah. Right.
I'll be proud when we get to that place where there's an ungladdy day. Page 9.
Amen.
Page 9.
Tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds hide. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day.
Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of cloudless day.
tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrow all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again.
Amen.
In that lovely land of unclouded day.
Jesus said, if it was not so, he said, I would have told you. I'm glad it's so. Amen, Brother Harry. I'm glad, praise God, it's not only so. Hallelujah, where he is, I'll be. What Paul said.
Page 93. Death is an answer sent down from above. And for the buds and the flowers we love,
truly 'tis so, for in heaven's own way, each soul will flower her master's bouquet. Gathering flowers for the master's bouquet, beautiful flowers that will never decay. Gather my angels and carry it away, forever to bloom in the master's bouquet. Loved ones are passing each day and each hour, passing away as a life of a fire. But every bud and each blossom someday will bloom as a flower in the master's bouquet. Gathering flowers for the master's bouquet. Beautiful flowers that will never decay. Gathered by angels and carried away, forever to bloom in the master's bouquet. Let us be faithful till life's work is done, blooming with love till the reaper shall come. Then we'll be gathered together for rain, and planted to bloom in the master's bouquet. Gathering flowers for the master's bouquet. Beautiful flowers that will never decay. Gathered by angels and carried away, forever to bloom in the master's bouquet.
Amen. I seen Linda looking through the song book early in the service. I just wonder if she had a special on her heart this morning. And if she does, we'd certainly like that. What about Luke this morning? You got one on your heart this morning? Anybody else? All right. Revelations. Bobby's always saying, Brother Ed, I wish you'd preach out of Revelations every now and then. I get two. I got to preach the preaching. He bids me to preach, or woe unto me. Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I do this thing willingly, he said, I'll receive a reward. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to receive a reward. I said earlier that NBC took a poll, tried to test the waters, I guess, to see how lukewarm America was. But they wanted to know how many people was in favor of taking one nation under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, United States of America, out. And when the poll was taken, 14% wanted it removed and the rest wanted to stay. And they didn't want everybody to know about it. But I guess we're a little bit more of a nation for God than I realized. And that encouraged me. Revelations chapter number 3. We'll start reading in verse 14. We'll finish out that chapter. Revelations chapter 3. And the Bible says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness doeth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And you can be seated. Thank you for standing for the Word of God. I preached last Sunday, the fool that said in his heart there is no God, about atheism. I want to try to preach this morning along the same lines. And I want to title this message this morning, Christian Atheist. Christian Atheist. And pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, we're pretty excited this morning, for we know you give us this message. We're just a messenger boy. But Father, in my heart, Lord, I have to admit I'm at the end of my chain, pawing, Lord. Eager, Lord, to deliver this message. Lord, for the day and hour we're living in, for such a time as this. Father, I rejoice to be, Lord, to be able to say I'm saved. I rejoice to be able to know I've been kind and faithful, put in the ministry. I rejoice, Lord, to have an opportunity to stand for the Word of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation such as we live in. Lord, I pray that on your Word, give me help of the Holy Spirit of God, and I'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' blessed name, I'll ask it. Amen. Christian Atheist. Title this message, Unusual Message. And a Christian Atheist can be summed up in one word. That one word would be faithless. That's what Jesus told this church. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Peter mentioned about the faith, that it be like gold tried in the fire, and it's really in conjunction with this statement here. But a Christian atheist is someone that doesn't have no faith in nothing but themselves, and if they can't by their own selves do something, they don't know what to do. Jesus in Luke chapter number 8, he rebuked the winds and the waves. There was a great calm. And the disciples, they were amazed. They said, what manner of man is this? And he just turned around and rebuked them. He said, where's your faith? And I'm telling you today, this morning, you ought to think about this morning. Where is your faith? Is it in you? Or is it in him? Amen. It'll make a difference. If your faith is in you, you won't go too far. If your faith is in him, you'll go all the way, man.
Amen.
I'll tell you today, I know where I'm coming from today. I've watched for 25 years now. I've watched people come and go to my house of God. I've watched them grow up. I've watched them fall down. I've watched them stand. I've watched them run. I'll tell you one thing that'll make a Christian. That's faith, amen. Unwavering faith. That's tried and tested, amen. A young preacher one time went to an elderly saint's house. She said, I'll be up there in a minute. He looking through her Bible there, by the chair, by the lamp. Opened her Bible, thumbing through there. He kept saying, TP, TP, TP. She come in there and caught him looking in her Bible. He closed up. He said, I'm sorry, ma'am. But he said, I couldn't help but notice in your Bible, you had TP wrote in there quite a bit. What's that mean? She said, tried and proved. I'll tell you what, buddy, God don't mind you a bit trying him.
Amen.
He don't mind you a bit proving him. He don't
mind, you'll be it. If you got enough faith to believe God, you'll see Him do great, mighty things. And if you ain't got no faith, you won't see nothing. I'll tell you what, buddy. But I'll tell you what, you'll be weak in the knee. I got some dirt on my shoes. I'm just going to kick them off. Amen. If you ain't got no faith, I'll tell you what, you won't see much of God at all. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. I'm actually going to preach on Numbers chapter number 13. I want to use Revelation as a foundation. But let's turn our Bibles real quick this morning. Numbers chapter number 13. I hate to throw one in the Bible to the other. But let me say this about Numbers chapter number 13. In there you'll find some men with some faith. And you'll find some men didn't have no faith. Two men had faith. And now 10 didn't. And it hurt. If you read Acts chapter number 7, it talks about the church in the wilderness. Moses was the first pastor and he stayed on his knees. Israel was the first congregation and they murmured all the way to the promised land. Not much has changed, amen. But in Numbers chapter number 13, verse 1 through 16, 12 men are picked to go into the promised land and search it out and bring back a report, amen. And 10 brought back a fearful, a faithless report. Their answer was, "We're not able." Now you ought to think about that. God told them, send some men in there to spy the land out. And they chose one man of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And 12 went in. 12 came back. 10 come back and said, "We're not able." 2 brought back a report. 2 said, "We're well able." But 10 said, "We're not able." Now in Psalm chapter number 142, verse number 4, the Bible says, and I wanted to preach this as a message, and I'll just give it to you this morning. I really would like to preach this as a message. But that verse says, "Refuge failed me." It said, "I looked for some to help, and I found none, and refuge failed me." What that means is, all my resources were not able to help me. All that I had to fall on is gone. All my means are gone. Refuge, everything. It's empty. It's on zero. Can you help me, click? Refuge failed me. You see, when you're down to nothing in God, you got everything you need. I was at a hospital in Bowling Green having an MRI done, and unknown to me what was coming. I mean, I'm sitting in there. The woman said, "You want to listen to music while we're doing this MRI? Don't hold against me because I'm in my sock feet. I don't want to track mud all through the church." I didn't realize I had mud on my shoes. But I said, "Yeah, but you wouldn't be willing to play the kind of music I want to hear." She said, "What kind of music you want here?" I said, "Ma'am, I don't listen to anything but Christian music. That's all I listen. My ears have been dedicated to God. My mouth, I don't want to speak about nothing but Jesus. My eyes, I don't want to say no wicked thing before my eyes. I want my eyes ever longing to see Him. My ears ever longing to hear about Him."
Amen.
Man, I ain't never got over Him. Amen. I don't know how you get over Him.
Amen.
And somebody said something about a little boy who lived on the streets, and this rich couple came by and they saw him there, Jesse. And they inquired and found out he was fatherless and motherless. He was an orphan living on the streets, and they found out they could adopt him, and they adopted this little boy, brought him home with him, and they decked him out real nice clothes. And boy, I mean, he had a real nice warm bed, a loving mother and a loving father. Margaret, he sat down at the table, real manly, real respectfully, he said, "Mom and Dad, can I please be dismissed from the table?" And they said, "Well, sure, son." He slipped off back there to his bedroom, and he done that every time, Charlotte. And they thought, "What's going on? We got to find out what's wrong." So they followed him back there one time, real quietly, like to find out what was going on, Jesse. And they pushed that door open, and they saw this little boy reach underneath this bed, and he got a little old ragged sack out, and Linda He took his real nice clothes off and folded them on the bed. They're real nice and neat. And he put these rags on, went over and stood in front of that mirror and went to weep, and they couldn't hold back no longer. They come in there and said, "Son, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?" He said, "I don't never want to forget what y'all done for me. I ain't never got over it either. I don't never want to forget what he done for me, Carolyn. I tell every now and then. I want to remember who I was and what I am. Thanks to Jesus, amen. Keep it fresh, amen. Don't get stale on God." I'll tell you what, I was down there and he's doing that MRI. I'm listening to Christian music. I thought, praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, for some reason or another, and I don't even know why, I don't know everything. My wife will testify that. I wish she was here this morning. I'd get amen from her, like Brother Vernon said. But anyway, my heart somehow got distressed. I'm not a doctor, so I ain't going to comment, but I was having trouble getting my breath. She had all kind of markers on me. She said, "Mr. Wade, are you having trouble breathing?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Do you think you might come out a little bit?" I said, "Yeah, probably do." She brought me out, and I'm laying there on this thing, and I'm having trouble getting my breath. She said, "Are you by yourself?" I said, "No, my wife's with me." She said, "Do you think I ought to go get her?" I said, "Yeah, you better go get her." She went and got my wife. My wife come and looked at me. She said, "He ain't doing no good." And she said, "You think I ought to get a doctor?" She said, "Yeah, you better." Went and got a doctor, brought him in there. He seen me, he said, "He ain't doing no good. Call 911. So much for a doctor, amen." 911 guy's got their paramedics. First thing he said, "Brother Melvin," he said, "he ain't doing no good." And they put oxygen on me and started putting all kind of stuff on me. And man, this thing wouldn't go away. It just kept getting escalating, just kept getting bigger. And I was having trouble getting my breath. I've never died before, Carolyn. But I was convinced of the fact I was dying. Now, I'll just tell you, I'm in the land of living, but I was convinced of the fact I was dying. And I told this woman beside my bed, just a young nurse, I said, "Have you ever seen anybody die?" And she wouldn't even answer me. I said, "Well, I'm a Christian." And I said, "I want you to stay by my bedside. Don't leave me. I want to show you what a difference Jesus makes in the death of a Christian." I was convinced, Brother Melvin, I was going to die. There wasn't nothing I could do about it. It's like being on a roller coaster ride. Linda, once it starts, you can't get off till you get the end of it. And I was riding this thing out. And I realized, Ricky, if it failed me, it wasn't in my power. It wasn't in the power of these doctors or this nurse. So, in the moment, I was surprised. I got to thinking positively. And I got to thinking, well, praise the Lord, I ain't going to have to work no more. I ain't going to have to worry no more. Man, I'm going to meet Jesus. And the more I got to think it positively, man, I'll tell you what, I got kind of lacking the moment there for a minute, William. And it's like God stretched out His hand. I'm walking with God, amen. But I started quoting Psalms 23. And I got there where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I'll tell you what, boy, my wife, kind of prayer, and we're at the whole thing. Here she come, Margaret. "You got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday, and you need to be there." And I took that oxygen mask off against all of the warnings of the paramedics and doctors and everybody else. Had to sign a waiver to be able to go home. But the reason I said all that was refuge failed me. I had nothing to fall back on. I was at the mercy of God. And every one of us one day, refuge will fail us. Every one of us one day, we'll say like Stephen, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." When they were stoning him, refuge had failed him. There's no door of escape. There's no way around the inevitable, amen. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Ten brought back a fearful, faithless report. But two spake with faith, fearlessly, saying, "We are well able." Verse number 30. Chapter 14, verse 6 through 10. Talks about those two spoke with faith, Joshua and Caleb. And the multitude rebelled against the Lord and Moses. Chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Those ten faithless men, chapter 14, verse 37 tells us those men died. Those two faithful lived, verse 38. And the multitude perished, verses 40 through 45. But I'll tell you what. an atheist type attitude says we're not able. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. I found a law when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I'll tell you what, buddy, there'll be times you will be down. There'll be times you'll wonder what's coming next. There'll be times you'll be like Job. It'll come one, two, three. It's all gone. And you'll get down and say, the Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. I bless that. Be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you. Don't be faithless as a child of God. No matter what comes your way, the devil come against you, try you. They will come against you, boy, and resist you and try to overthrow your faith. That's just an opportunity, Molly. Like Job, show what you're made out of. Amen. Job finally one day when it didn't make no sense at all, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You tell me where else you can run to but God. Amen. I'm telling you, he's the one, amen, that's got the helping hand in any situation. Amen. David was in a great strait one time. They gave him two choices. God said, do you want to be chased by your enemies? Or do you want to receive from the Lord a plague? He said, let me fall in the hand of the Lord. His mercies are great. And that's always the direction to go. Go with God. Amen. I'll tell you what, buddy. I done tried God and proved God. I found Him to be a faithful Creator. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, saying we're compassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. Church one time was struggling financially. They was trying to add on to the church and they said, we don't have enough money. We don't have the means. I wouldn't recommend doing what this pastor did unless you had the faith of this pastor. But I'll tell you what he did, and this is not no story, this is true. He said, how much money we got in the treasury? And they said, $7,000 or $8,000, something like that. He said, I want every penny of it given to missions. Well, as they fell on the floor gasping, I don't know why, but they did. Well, then a month, they had enough money to tear the whole church down and build a new one.
Amen.
He had faith. And I'll tell you right now, if you got that kind of faith, you do it. If you don't do it. But he had faith to believe God, to be above what their need was. He said, let's give all we got to God and see what He does with it. And Brother Melvin, he gave all, every penny they had to missions. God said, I seen it. You remember the God that told Hezekiah, he said, I seen your tears. I heard your prayer. I'm going to have your life 15 years. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to defend your city.
Amen.
If you've got that kind of faith, you exercise, if you ain't, don't you step out of the boat like Peter. You'll sink. I'll tell you what, buddy. If you go with God, you'll go the right way every time. I don't care where old song. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. Amen. If you go with Him, you're going the right way. I'll tell you what, I can't explain some situations. Some people come to me and they come nine different ways, Brother Melvin. Why would God allow this? If God so loved me, why am I going through this? I can't explain it, but I'll tell you one thing. God knows every bit about it. The Bible said there's not a sparrow that falls that His eye doesn't see. And the Bible said we're more valuable than many sparrows. I'll tell you right now, buddy, don't try to undermine God. Don't try to understand. His ways are past finding out. He knows my downset and uprise and my thoughts are far off. And He still loves me, amen. Hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, listen, a church, like I said, if you got that kind of faith, do it. If you ain't got that kind of faith, don't you dare do what they did. But that pastor said, let's just give it all to missions. And God seen it. And God honored it. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 through 13, here's Caleb. Caleb that won him and Joshua about the good report gala. You know what Caleb said? He said, I'm now 80 years old. He's 80 now. He said, I was 40 when we went into the land. You know what he said? He said, I'm as strong today as I was when we went in the land. There are dividends to having faith in God. Those 10 died, 2 lived. Joshua, he took Moses' place. He's the new Moses. Here's Caleb. He said, give me that mountain. He said, I want that mountain, Carolyn. He said, the same God that took me in that land and told me we could have it, now He's giving it to us. Now I want that mountain. I want Mount Hebron.
Yeah.
I want it.
Yeah.
And they had no choice. They said, it's yours, buddy. Woo! I'm telling you, you can have it if you go the right way. He said, I'm not faithless. The same God that was with me when we went in the promised land, He's been with me now. I'm 80 years old. I'm as strong today as I was when I went in that land.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
Jesus made statements like this. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? Luke chapter 18, verse number 8. He said statements like this, Molly. If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you'd say this mountain be moved. This sycamore tree be plucked up, cast in the sea. You see, our faith is so shallow. It's so superficial. That when it's tried, God said, I counsel thee by me faith tried in the fire.
Amen.
You ever thought about your faith, how faithless you really are? One woman went to a doctor, Brother Vernon, and the doctor, he called her in his office and he said, ma'am, he said, we've exhausted all of our means. He said, only I know left to do is pray. She said, oh my God, she said, has it come to that? Sometimes that's where it needs to go, amen. Sometimes we just need to bring it to God and say, Lord, if you just failed me, and if you want to intervene, fine. If not, I'm thine. What was that song? I'm thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. Amen. That's where faith is manifested, when you say, Lord, I'm not my own. I belong to you. Do whatever you want to. Just let me honor you in my death or in my life. Whatever you want, Lord.
Amen.
Let it honor you. I'll tell you what, I'm convinced of the fact that we live numbered days. I'm convinced of the fact that on the calendar of God, somewhere there's a day that anyway's not going to go no further than that day.
Amen.
I don't know what that day is. I just know one thing. Whether I live, Paul said for me to live is Christ. He said to die is gain. One day, I'll fill my days. One day, I'll finish my course. I done told my pastor, I said, Brother Rick, we're both the same age. I just get to 60 before he will. I'll get to horse laugh him after he horse laughs me. But I told him, I said, if you're still living, Brother Rick, I want you to do my funeral. And I said, if it's true, I want you to use that scripture where Paul said, I fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up me a crown of righteousness whom the Lord will give me, not me only, but all those that love Him. Looked to His appearing. I said, Brother Rick, if it ain't true, don't preach it. But if I've stayed true, if I've stayed faithful, and if I have finished my course, I said, I'd like you to preach at my funeral. Boy, I'd like to leave out here, boy, and leave honor and glory to God. Just let this world know what a difference Jesus made in 80 ways life. I can't even understand it myself. I saw myself lost and undone at the age of 34 years old and just threw myself at the feet of Jesus. And I have to admit, I had no idea whether He'd forgive me or whether He'd save me. But I found Him to do even more than I asked Him.
Amen.
How's your faith running this morning? We got a new car and we found out it runs out of gas before it gets down to E. Maybe some of you are trying to run on E. My wife pulled up on the side of the road. She said, there's something wrong with this car. He has out of gas. We put gas in and started right up and went again. I think sometimes our faith tank's kind of like that. We run it down there to where that little light blinks off and on, head to the filling station. I'll tell you one thing. You have all the faith. Paul said, you have all faith. We live lives like atheists. We claim to be saved. And the first thing goes wrong, we just fall apart. We claim to know the One that inhabits eternity. We claim to know the One that created everything. And the world looks on us and they want to see how it is with us when it comes to our house. They want to see how we fare when we get to letter in the mail. They want to know how we fare when we get the phone call. And the tears start rolling uncontrollably down our cheeks. And they want to see us like the man that wrote the song, It's Well With My Soul. When peace like a river tendeth my soul, or something like that. He said, it is well. It is well with my soul. That's faith, boy. It don't always go as planned. For all we know, on the way home today, tragedy may hit. For all we know, tragedy may already be going on. I remember one time on a Christmas Day, Carolyn. I remember we was over at my grandmother's house. My mother was there and I was there. And the phone rang. And they handed the phone to my mother. And I saw her lose her composure. Mm-hmm. You know what was going on, Howard? Her house was literally burning to the ground while we were there at my grandmother's house. I drove my mother down there with her mother. And I remember we turned around the corner and you could see the fire trucks and you could see the flames engulfing her house. And I saw my mother just literally melt right there. And I was so helpless to help her. And those firemen come to my mother, Brother Vernon. They said, "Miss Wade, we got this out of there, her wedding rings." And it was a little comfort to her. But I'll tell you what, buddy, greater than those wedding rings is God. Yeah. I'll tell you, buddy, you give me God in any situation, I'll make it through it. I don't care how bad it is. I'll swing over hell on a noodle as long as I got God there to help me through it. Amen. I remember the day I was at my mother's house. It was on a Sunday morning. I'll tell you what, I still remember the phone rung and my mother answered the phone. And I could tell by the look on her face it wasn't good. And this time it wasn't about her, it was about me. She said, "It's for you." And Charlotte, I got that phone stuck to my ear and they said, "Your daughter's been in a bad wreck. You need to get to the hospital as fast as you can." I just got through eating dinner with her. Looked in the eyes of my little 17-year-old daughter, beautiful thing. And I had great plans for her. I wanted to watch her grow up. I wanted to see what she's going to turn out to be. God had different plans. You remember that song, "The Master's Bouquet"? He decided he wanted to put her in his bouquet. You see, children are heritage from the Lord, and somebody gets bitter when God takes one of their children. Hey, listen, buddy. You don't get no children if God don't give them. Through the womb, the Bible says, His reward. Job lost 10. He had enough sense to say, "The Lord give it, the Lord take it away," and God gave him 10 more. That day I went out to the hospital, and I said, "Terrible loss." I didn't know how it was going to go, Brother Vernon. But I remember my pastor was already there when I got there. My wife's pastor was there, Danny Patrick, my pastor, Ricky Prophet, and they said, "Brother, let's go back there and pray." I put my hand on the back of those two men of God and all I could do was weep. I couldn't get a word out. And those two men of God poured their heart out to God. I remember them men, boy, they were praying, "God, please spare her life. Let her live." We went back to that waiting room. And the door opened up and the doctor come in that waiting room. He looked at me. He said, "Are you her father?" I said, "Yes, sir." Margaret, he got down on his knees and crawled to me. He buried his face in my lap and he wept for a long time out loud, not a little bit, great whacking sobs. He looked up at me and I mean his face was literally just full of tears and just overwhelming grief. And he said, "I'm sorry, son, I've done the best I could." I pulled him up and hugged him. I said, "Thank you, sir. I know you did. Refuge had failed me." He'd done everything he could. And I'll tell you what, buddy, Mike Swift, he was really gracious. He come over to me, he said, "Brother Eddie, I'm sorry. But," he said, "I've got to ask you to sign this piece of paper, give me permission to take your daughter's body from the hospital to the morgue." And Linda, ordinarily I'd write my name like John Hancock, just it took both hands. I remember it, boy. I just couldn't hardly get it on there. And it was like I was agreeing to something I didn't want to agree to. My daughter's dead. And then, that was on Sunday. On the Monday, me and my wife went out there to Hatcher Sadler Funeral Home to pick out her coffin. I remember Anita went up them stairs with the funeral director. He said, "Mr. Wade," he said, "I'll say one thing and then I'll leave and let you and your wife go further." He said, "But the further you go around through here, the more expensive the coffins get." I said, "Thank you, sir." I said, "We're not interested in how much it costs. We just want to get it over." We started down through there, me and my little loving wife. And I was holding her and she was holding me like it's supposed to be. And we were better than one. We were supporting one another, wiping tears, slinging tears. We went down through there, Anita. My wife pointed over there to a mauve-colored coffin. And she was able to get the words out, "Carolyn, Cindy would like the color of that coffin." And I turned around and I said, "Mister, that's the one we want. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how much it costs, that's the one we want." We've done the best we could. There'll be times, buddy, that the winds will blow. The rains will come. If you ain't on the rock, you ain't going to make it. I'll tell you what, buddy, you ought to examine yourself. You ought to know for sure. You got enough faith to make it all the journey, because we can't go part of the way. We got to go all the way. I don't know how many curves, how many hills, how many valleys is in this journey. I just know one thing. I'm going all the way.
Amen.
If I was to get a phone call when I leave this service day, my wife said, "I've had enough. I'm leaving you." I'll tell you right now, I'm still going with Jesus.
Amen.
And my son said, "Dad, I'll be dead before you get home. I've had it. I'm still going with Jesus."
Amen.
I can't stop those things. I can't help those things. I would that it wouldn't be like that. We live lives like atheists sometimes. We claim to be Christians. It ought not be so, brethren.
That's right.
And sisters. That young lady over at that McDonald's, you done the right thing. The Bible said of some, having compassion makes a difference. It makes a difference when you come over and hug somebody and pray with them and say, "It'll be all right." That's a whole lot better than being callous to heart and saying, "Can you keep it down a little bit? We're trying to eat over here." Christian atheists, the day and hour has come where we'll let our faith shine. We'll trim our wick. Boy, quit putting a bushel over our lamp. We're to go out in this world and say, "Boy, Jesus made a difference. He made a difference in my heart. He made a difference in my home. The old man's no more anyway. The new man is Jesus Christ." Amen. And let come what may. I'll tell you what, buddy. The world, like at Sunday school, they'll take notice. They'll take note you've been with Jesus. Are you living life like an atheist, claim to be saved? You know, Titus chapter 1, verse 16 says they profess to know God. But we got them today, professors. It says, but in works they deny Him. See, when the opportunity arises, first thing goes wrong, I'm dealing with this. No more. I'm not going to church no more. I'm not praying no more. I'm not telling nobody no more about Jesus. Oh boy. Oh, you have little faith. I tell you what, buddy. We ought to muster up what little bit of faith we got. We ought to say, "Lord, I'm going all the way. Lord, I don't know what's coming my way, but I know You already know what's on the calendar for tomorrow. I already know that You know what's best for me. You know how to mold me. You're the potter, I'm just the clay. You're the Father, I'm just the Son. And whatever Thy will is for my life, give me grace to bear and give me wisdom to understand what all comes my way, man." Because one day you're going to leave behind a testimony. The Bible said about Enoch, they left behind a testimony, Carolyn, that he pleased God. One day we'll leave behind a testimony. Little Kaylee, she'll say, "I'll tell you one thing, my grandma, she pleased God." Amen.
Amen.
We'll leave behind a testimony one day. What will your testimony be? I'll tell you, let's not live like Christian atheists. Let's live like children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference today if you call somebody today and say, "Hey, I've got such a burden for you. If you don't come tonight, I'm coming over there." It'll make a difference. You'll scare them to come. They'll be afraid not to come. Amen. Father, we thank You for the message this morning. Lord, I know that You gave it. I don't get my messages off the internet. I'm dumb in a box of rocks. But I thank You, Father, for the thought. I thank You, Father, for the help. I thank You, Lord, for the little jots and tittles You threw in. And I pray, dear Father, this morning we'd be doers, not hearers only. Whatever, Lord's on our heart right now to do, I pray we'd be quick to do it. Giving You praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'd ask everybody to stand. And if you need to come this morning, I wouldn't even wait. I'd just come right on. Brother William, I say one thing about Brother William. He don't waste no time, but he just steps right out and comes right on down. I like that. I think that's what we'll do it. I'd even leave it up to choice or chance. Just say, "Hey, I'm going." If your faith running thin this morning, won't you come up here and ask God for some more? If you're running a little low on faith, I'll tell you right now, buddy, God can increase it.
Page 358.
If your refuge fell in you,
The psalmist said, I'll look to the hills, which cometh my help.
Amen.
He said, my help cometh from the Lord. Psalms 121, verse 1, I believe it is. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. If your refuge failing you, look to the hills. You don't have to look no further than Calvary. I'll tell you what, boy, you can find, like Brother Vernon said, find all the love that you need. He'll go with you all the way. Bless you, Brother William. Want somebody to come up here and join him this morning? I'd be ashamed. Just come up here and say, Lord, thank you for speaking my heart. Thank you for encouraging me in the way. Lord, thank you for Brother William. Lord, and obedience. Appreciate Brother William, Lord. Appreciate Father. Faith, Lord, he's unashamed. Lord, to come forward. Lord, to give you glory. Lord, I wish others would come this morning and nothing else to say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for being with me all these years. Lord, I pray, Father, this morning, that somebody have a need this morning that you could help them with. And I pray to bring it to you, give it to you. Help them. Tears. You're touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, you get involved because you care for us. You told us to cast all our care from you because you care for us. You told us to cast our burden from you, Jesus. Bless Sister Margaret this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray you would gird her, Lord, and carry her, I pray. Lord, to that day, Lord, we all graduate this life.
We know not, Lord, what that'll be. But we've got the promise from you. You said, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What a blessed Savior you are. What a blessed comfort, Lord, you are to our soul. Oh, Lord, bless my sister this morning. Thank you, Sister Margaret. Thank you. Appreciate Sister Margaret this morning. That's where it's supposed to be, beloved. That's where God is. He's a refuge. She can run to. He's one. I tell you what, buddy, you don't have to go no further than Him. He's our all in all. Sure do appreciate Sister Margaret being obedient. Appreciate Brother William. Others come up here and pray with her. Appreciate that. That's where it's supposed to be in the house of the Lord. We're not supposed to be nice on logs, stumps, and got to be bulldozed out, dynamited out. We're supposed to be willing to come to the Lord at His beckoning. You know, Jesus said, John 5, verse 40, He said, you will not come to me that you may have life. He said, no problem on my end. He said, you just won't come. I'll help you if you'll come. I tell you this morning, God's been here in a mighty way. He's still here right now. I can't explain Him. He's past finding out. But I promise you this morning, ain't a need here this morning He can't meet. There's not a problem this morning He can't solve. There's no sin this morning He can't forgive. Someone said, but you don't know me, Brother Eddie. You don't know what I've done. No, but God does, and He beckons you to come. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, He said, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, He said, I'll make them as wool. He specializes in that. Thank you, Sister Linda. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart this morning. I reckon I finally got all the mud off of me. I'm so sorry. I didn't know I had that on my shoes.
There is a verse here that I want to read from Psalms 55, verse 22, chapter 55, rather. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the
wrath. Bless you, Mother. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah! Praise you see, them foundational stones that you're supposed to stand on.
Amen.
Haven't done all to stand there with. I take verses like Molly just read right there, and I get down and I pray, and I said, Lord, you told me to cast my burden upon you.
Amen.
You told me to come to you, cast my cares upon you. You said you cared for me. I take God at His word, Carolyn. Amen. One time I was out there on the back porch. I never know what to do, but I always try to do what I can. I got on my back porch. I said, Dear Lord, could you please put me on somebody's heart? I'm at the end of my rope. Could you please put me on somebody's heart to call me? My phone rung. As soon as I got that out, William, and a man called me up. He said, hey, it's Jimmy. What's going on? God just put you on my heart. I said, well, be honest with you, Jimmy. I'm at the end of my rope. He said, how much you need? Gave me $1,000. Actually, it wasn't him. It was God through him. Jimmy will tell you that himself. I'm not just saying this. He'll tell you. He said, God gave me this money. He tells me what to do with it. He don't always give it. But I'll tell you what, when God's on him, and lots of times God's on him, he called me soon as I got it out. I was in the living room one time. He showed up at my doorstep at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, Eddie, you up? I said, yeah, I was interested in my Bible. He said, will you pray with me? Yes, sir. We knelt right down on the couch and prayed. He said, I got to go. He walks real close to God. He's very discerned, very disciplined. I can't even really explain him, but I'll tell you one thing. You get down and pray to God, you'd be surprised. He'll have somebody. I remember one time I was down there praying, needed $300 that day. I said, Lord, you told me to bring my burdens to you. I need $300 a day, and the phone rung. And I got a little bit in the flesh. I didn't want to quit praying. I finally went over and jerked the phone up. Hello! And the guy on the other end of the phone said, Eddie, it's Dale. He said, I got $300. Can you get me some flint today? After I got down to about right there, I said, yeah. I went back in and I said, Lord, I wasn't expecting you'd answer that quick. Y'all heard the story, and I won't use vain repetitions, but that's the way God is.
Yes.
He works like that. His ways are past finding out. Anybody got a word?
I praise the Lord this morning. I thank Him for the blood. I thank Him for His word.
Edmund.
These nuggets that He'll pull out.
You're right, Molly.
When you need them. His word is not for us to argue. His word is for us to learn and to learn how to live this
That's
life
right.
and love each other and care for each other.
Bless you, Molly.
It's yeah. not just right. put there as a book.
Right.
Until people really start seeing Christ for what He is, it's not going to be no better.
Yeah.
And I love him tonight, this morning. I love him for that blood he has washed my heart.
Amen.
He flooded my heart. But Molly's got to live this life for Molly and nobody else. All I can do for you is pray for you.
Amen.
And I cannot live your life and I cannot take your sins away
Amen.
From you. All of them. Christ above can do that. When
Amen.
He takes it away. I can't do none of that. But don't look at my life. Look at your life because we're none perfect.
Amen.
And it's the world is really coming against us all now.
Oh, yeah.
And without Christ, we can't make it. I love him this morning. And I wouldn't give him up for all the people on this earth, but gold or silver or whatever.
Amen.
He's there in my heart, Amen. And that's where I'm going to keep him.
Hey.
I love him this morning.
Bless you, Molly. She's right about that word. I've had scriptures come to my mind. And they came at the point of time.
Brother Eddie, I gotta come up here and pray because my heart's a beating like that jungle during
Well, you
fight.
Come right on, Sister Carolyn.
I want to ask William to come and pray with me.
Come pray with him.
I didn't come and pray with William, and I'm so sorry.
That's all right. That's well. I like to see it like that.
Lord,
I like to see that.
I went with Margaret, and I failed you. Bless you.
To pray
with me.
Amen. I like to see it like that.
Lord, I come to you.
Lord, bless my sister, my brother.
Lord,
we thank you, Father. Lord, that's the way you had it, Father. You said love his brother and be courteous. Lord, tenderhearted. And Lord, we thank you for Carolyn, Lord, not only for the thought, but Lord, she was forward, Lord, to do what was in her heart. Bless her and bless William, Lord. Get honor and glory, I pray. Here this morning, Lord. Lord, these are the kind of things, Lord, we need to learn how to do. Lord, that's what Christians do when their faith runs deep. They do, Lord, what's in their heart to do. I appreciate Carolyn not just being a hearer, but a doer. Lord, what was in her heart. Yes, Lord.
I ask that you touch us in the name of Jesus, Lord. Be with each person here, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Be with their quest, dear Heavenly Father, whatever it might be, Lord. Touch us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And touch William and his family.
Bless
Amen and glory.
Amen. Bless you, Carolyn. I appreciate her. See, the Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. She said she had in her heart to do that, and she done more than having a heart. She said, I want to do it. I want William to come up here and pray with me. She said, I wanted to pray with him, but I hadn't acted on it. And she said her heart's beating like a jungle drum. The Bible said God's a greater than a heart, knows all things. And that's where God deals with me, through my heart.
Yes.
And you remember the Bible talked about David, he cut that little piece of Saul's skirt off, and the Bible said his heart smote him. He didn't feel so good about that. That heart smote him. And that's the way God does sometimes. He smites us in the heart. Anybody else got a word? Been good to be here.
Amen.
Amen, Nita.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Okay, we're done. Let's stand. Sure has been good. Don't forget to come back tonight. We're not going to dismiss tonight. I'm guilty of, I guess, going in town too early. I was worried about the weather last Sunday. And there wasn't nothing to worry about. They're calling for snow, which later on tonight, so... Good Lord be with them. Weather permitting, we'll have service tonight, 5 o'clock. And Brother Melvin, you dismiss us. Word of prayer.
First of all, thank the Lord for his presence being with us the mighty way here
today. Amen, Brother Melvin.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.